Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Would you feel differently about these Bears coaching hires if maybe some of the positions were different? For instance, if you didn't bring in John DeFilippo as a quarterback coach, which I think he's done very well doing that position and probably well matched with it, but say he was the coordinator. Instead of making a passing game coordinator job, you made a running game coordinator job for Bill Lazor. Would you feel differently about the names if they were lined up differently than the way you do with them now?
Probably not. If the belief is that Carson Wentz's mechanics or
right.
Nick Foles's mechanics or down in Jacksonville, if Minshew's mechanics were improved because of the way that DeFilippo coached them, in a way that he is a stickler for details or a technician, that does bode well for a guy in Mitch Trubisky who doesn't mechanically impress you and isn't mechanically sound and has bad habits that tend to surface at the wrong times. I just don't know that increasing the number of voices in Mitch Trubisky's head is a way to simplify the process for a quarterback that clearly needs to find a simpler way to do things.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
January 16th, 2011, the Chicago Bears beat the Seattle Seahawks 35-24 to advance to the NFC Championship.
And what happened then? That was Dustin's stairway game.
The million-dollar arm, 10-cent head quarterback walking up the stairs at Mastro's to get a steak. You can't be seen walking up the stairs at Mastro's after you wimped out in the NFC Championship game. Take a shot of Toradol, drop your drawers, Jay, and get back in the game. Toughen up, Buttercup.
Wow. I believe it's word for word what he said 9 years ago.
Nearly a decade later, the sting remains.
And I feel the same way.
He is a monster.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, TGIF in the fine city of Chicago.
Morning, Mully. Happy Friday. Yeah,
happy we made Friday
it.
To you.
It's a big weekend ahead.
Yes, it is.
A lot of Cubs conversation.
Well, a lot of baseball conversation anyway, right? I mean, there'll be a lot of Cubs conversation at the fan convention.
Well, it's not a bad thing for Major League Baseball to be dealing with a scandal as the Cubs convene for their convention, because it kind of will distract everybody from the idea that the offseason is yet to begin.
Or maybe we need more people to check in on exactly what's going on in Major League Baseball.
It'll be curious to see. There was a gag order. It's hard to tell, but there was an edict from Major League Baseball to tell the teams not to talk about this. And yet yesterday, what did we hear? We heard teams talking about this.
Well, what? I mean, don't you have to talk about
it? Well, I think so. That's why I thought it was unrealistic for Major League Baseball to kind of suggest or order teams to say nothing, because you have something that affects everybody and everybody has an opinion, and a lot of people are hurt by this. A lot of people are embarrassed by it, and everybody's got an opinion about it.
Three managerial openings as Carlos Beltran is the latest person to mutually part ways. I mean, come on. The latest guy fired over the sign-stealing scandal that is absolutely shaking Major League Baseball. And Beltran, this is pretty wild. Beltran, someone claiming to be Beltran's niece, I don't know if it's his niece or not, has been releasing stuff on Twitter. Now, this person had Beltran being signed 3 days before he was hired and said that he was going to be done today, and he was done – or yesterday, and he was done yesterday. And they tweeted out even video showing what looks like Jose Altuve, holding on to his jersey, not wanting anyone to tear it because – he's got a device on under his jersey.
After his walk-off home run.
After the walk-off homer. And also, I mean, it's crazy to think about the idea and to the point where MLB had to come out and say, oh, no, there's nothing like that going. There were no buzzers.
Well, there's no evidence that they uncovered in their investigation. That doesn't mean that none exists. And I think that at this point, anything that you hear or that's uncovered or that you see with your own eyes on social media is plausible to believe that this was going on, because what you're not hearing are blanket denials from guys like Alex Cora or Carlos Beltran. You're hearing contrite, sincere apologies, and they are obviously not fighting the decision to part company with the teams that used to employ them. Carlos Beltran's apology was legit, and he was basically acknowledging the idea that anything that you hear about what went on is believable. So no matter what comes out in the investigation, this is not far-fetched to think that, okay, Altuve was wearing a sensor. Because you see the pictures, was it Tommy Pham tweeted out a photo with a circle of something raised in Altuve's jersey. And Altuve went to Scott Boras and ran and called and said, hey, I need to get this out there. I didn't do this. And so his denial has been the strongest one yet.
Bergman, there's an at-bat where something flies off his flies off of him and ricochets off the catcher's mask and disappears. Who knows? It looks like a little kind of, I don't know, could it be electronic device?
Could
Who
be
knows?
A Band-Aid. Could be something.
Could be
they,
nothing.
They had the bad. The rumor was there were Band-Aids that were buzzing, and that when they found out that it was, you know, curveball, that you would find it buzzing twice. Whatever method they used, it wouldn't be hard to imagine them using technology to that degree, because it was pretty elaborate.
It's pretty elaborate, is right. And, you know, at this point, we know that the last two World Series, or the 17 and 18 World Series, are tainted.
Tainted.
By this. Tainted.
Without question.
And, you know, I was talking to Dustin earlier, and I said, you know, if they wanted to end it, just take all the technology away. And then he's like, well, then they can't, you know, they can't use video. They can't try to change it.
Tough.
That's what you get.
That's
for cheating.
That's what you get. You're right. What they could do if they wanted to eliminate any sort of temptation or the reality that you could still use this to get an edge is don't let hitters watch video
exactly
between a bat or
no.
between innings.
You just lose all access to it in the clubhouse, in the dugout, wherever.
You're punishing the students of the game, and you're punishing the guys who want to get an edge. You know, the guys who really do study video to the point where that makes them better. But this is where you are as a game, as a sport. You've got to do something. The irony is, if Carlos Beltran had signed with the Mets as a pinch hitter at his age or as a reserve outfielder, he would still be under contract with the Mets because he'd be as a player. Because they weren't punished. They have yet to punish one player. One player, there's not been one player who has paid a price for this yet in terms of reality. Reputation, sure. But Beltran is no longer the manager or employed by the Mets because he became the manager. But what he did was as a player, and they're protected.
We have a one texter suggesting they walk through like a, you know, one of those, like they put the, like the, before you get in the batter's box, you have that
like at the airport.
At the airport, a metal detector. Another guy says an official comes out and wands everyone before they go up to the plate.
Take your laptop out of your pocket. Put it on the table.
Put your phone down.
Yeah.
Here, my
can you
keys.
Take your spikes off too, sir? Please go just, through there again, Mr. Rizzo. All right, so get over to the side there. Raise your hands.
That's very funny.
Me again.
The Cubs convention starts later today. You mentioned Anthony Rizzo. He is a featured speaker. He's going to be there, and he's going to be talking to the kids, and he'll tell them how dog-eat-dog baseball is.
That's what Riz told me.
And how unfair baseball is.
And how the Cubs 100% of the time never cheated, never tried.
But he also, he said that it's, you know, he wants to be a Cub for life, and they're not coughing on the contract.
So. Well, that to me is a non-story because it's not realistic for them to commit to him long-term. It's not realistic, frankly, for him to push that issue at this point in his career and in the Cubs sort of arc here. That's not.
Is it more realistic for David Ross to say the Cubs, even without making any moves, are a World Series contender?
I think if that's the talking points that he was instructed to speak during the Cubs convention, he's going to follow directions well.
Do you think he was told?
I think he did.
Do you think he was told to say that Cubs fans should should believe that Chris Bryant's going to be in the lineup on opening day?
Probably not. That's probably working through this awkward mix of being the manager of your friends. Okay. And that's part of the process because you can't make that promise. And I think everybody paying attention to this story with Chris Bryant understands why.
We've got the AFC-NFC championship games on the line this weekend. You've got the Chiefs hosting the Titans. Chiefs are 7-point favorites, and then the Packers are at the 49ers, and the Niners are a 7.5-point favorite. The total in the first game, 53, and the total in the second game, 46.3.
Yeah, that's a big number in the first game, but it is the Chiefs. They may score 53 alone if you don't watch them. I mean, they could definitely score in spurts. I don't know about the 49ers because the only thing that gives you pause is Jimmy Garoppolo on this stage against a defense that's going to confuse them. And I know what they did last time they went to Santa Clara, but the playoffs are different. And I do wonder if there's anything you wonder about, it's how he's going to handle that big stage.
7.7.5. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is.
That is. Those are magical numbers. We'll talk about it this morning.
I wish we had some gamblers on to talk about it.
Joe Burrow's father's checked in.
Yeah, he did. And I thought that he may actually, I didn't realize that he was a Canadian football player in his past. I for as long as he was. And Joe Burrow's dad was also the defensive coordinator at Ohio University. And he said that he would welcome the opportunity to play for the Bengals. And I, just speaking for myself here, I'm glad he said it because I understand why people would want to Joe Burrow to demand to be traded elsewhere or demand an Eli Manning type deal. This is an Ohio kid. He's playing 160 miles from home, and he's going to the Bengals. Bad organization or not, that's a dream come true.
The Bulls are at the 76ers. The 76ers are 19-2 at home. That's pretty good.
Without Jimmy Butler.
Well, Jimmy Butler's long gone.
I know, but this was his first season without Jimmy Butler, and you know they're doing this making a pretty good
better without him?
Losing a pretty good player.
The Blackhawks looking to sweep the 3-game Canadian road trip. They are in Toronto on Saturday night. Maybe they'll run into the Sussexes. Aren't they settling in Toronto?
I don't know if they're in Toronto yet. Are they on the way?
I think she is with the baby. I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah.
The queen might want to yell at him some more.
I think that he's sticking around back. He might be
still in Britain,
loading the dishwasher and doing chores around the house because of his punishment. I don't know, but I do think the Hawks are trying to stay hot, and I think Leonard will be back in net, and we'll see how they survive the weekend because Strome is now on injured reserve. He's not coming back. He wanted to this weekend, but Saad comes back soon. They get a full strength. They're going to be dangerous.
The Ramblers improved to 4-1. We buried our lead. 4-1 in the Valley after their 64-48 victory over Southern Illinois.
Go Ramblers!
Brian Mullen's back in Chicago with his new team, and Loyola pulled away late. It was kind of a taffy pull of a game back
you
and
go?
Forth.
Did you
I didn't go.
Game, no?
You know, David, it's just a little bit too late on a Thursday night, but I did watch. Does that count for anything?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's interest there. 4-1 in the Valley, so you
pretty
know, you might be missing something special. You never know.
Yeah. They're doing okay. They're building as a team, and I don't know why we didn't just start the show with it.
Well, we got three and a half hours. We could go in depth in the Cameron Crutwig story and
King Crut held to 8 points last night.
Yeah. Did he get injured?
Not at all. They did a great job of double teaming him everywhere he moved on the floor.
Did I see somewhere on Twitter that he'd step out for a little while and come back?
He maybe. Was in and out of the game. But
that's the way I follow the Ramblers right now.
Yeah, I didn't see him get hurt, but they played a lot of guys.
So that game was on NBC Sports Chicago last night,
it
right?
It was,
yeah.
Yes. And in fact,
how was the broadcast?
I tuned in. I was very anxious to watch them, and it was Hub and our friend Olin and Pat Boyle and of course Dan Hampton doing the Pro Football Weekly show. And I was like three times, wait a minute, isn't Loyola on? I kept checking, and then there was a thing. You know, just stay tuned, it said. So I stayed tuned. And then right when I was really getting into what they were talking about, the Ramblers popped up. And Cap did the game. He did a great job.
Did he?
Yeah,
good.
He's very good.
That's
he's an excellent.
He's learning.
No, I think he's good.
A little better.
I think he's good.
One day that kid's going to make something of himself.
What do you mean he's learning? Do you think he's not?
Yeah, good? Know.
He's just giving a hard time?
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny. That was so, it's a couple old buddies going at each other. Nothing like it. I thought he did very well. He has good insights. And I like the Ramblers being on TV. More of that, please. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Join the Wildcats Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Opponents include Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan. Single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you agree with David Ross that the Cubs are good enough to win the World Series right now, even if they make no moves? What about his comment that Cubs fans should expect Chris Bryant starting on opening day? And is Ross the Ryan Pace of baseball?
That's mean-spirited. I don't think he was purposely misleading anyone. I think David Ross is very enthused to have this job, and I think that he looks around and his glass is half full. I don't think he's looking at what was lost and what they need to replace. I think he's looking at how good the players were when he played with them and how you need to get the most out of those guys. And I think it's a matter of self-belief that he can come in and take a team that was 84 wins a year ago. But, I mean, you know, they should never have only won 84 games. They really did fizzle at the end of the year. They really did fall apart from season to season, kind of. So I think that Rossi probably understands that there's a lot of talent there, and he probably believes that he's the guy to bring it out of them. So I don't think that he's misleading anyone about that. I don't know that I agree with it. I think that they still have to figure out a few things before you can go in and say how good they are. I think the problem is we look at the Cubs, and, you know, we did that position-by-position thing with the Cubs and the Sox, that the Sox are in a significantly easier division. The Cubs division is getting tougher, right? The Reds all of a sudden are a better team. Are the Cardinals a better team than they were a year ago? I don't know about Milwaukee, but they're still a good team. So they got a lot of teams that are trying to win that division along with them. And in the case of the White Sox, they don't have that. So in my opinion, I think Ross was just being optimistic, and I think he's being extremely optimistic about Chris Bryant, because when this thing is resolved, I think things could move pretty quickly on that front.
Joe Maddon could have shown up and been just as optimistic, and everybody would have rolled their eyes and thought that's just Joe being Joe. He's positive, glass half full. That's a manager's job sometimes. In David Ross's case, I think it kind of gives you a sense of what kind of enthusiasm he's going to bring to the job and the positivity that you need when you're establishing a culture. Now, there's not nothing much has changed about the Cubs culture since the end of last season. So what he's trying to do is just be himself. And so I understand where he's coming from. I don't think they're good enough to win the World Series right now for a roster that really hasn't changed. If anything, you've taken away pieces that helped you be the team that won 84 games. How are you going to replace Cole Hamels? Don't know. You're going to miss Ben Zobrist to some degree, even though you didn't have him for most of the summer. You have holes that you haven't filled yet. Who's going to bat where Nick Castellanos did? Who's going to take up the slack of that kind of production? So it's ridiculous to think that this team with those losses is going to be worthy of World Series consideration. But I don't think that's his job to point those things out. That's our job to point those things out. That's Theo Epstein's job to address it at the end of a season and say, it's not good enough. We're broken. I'm going to try to fix it. It's David Ross, the new manager's job, try to put the happiest face on it possible, especially on the eve of a gathering that's intended for who? The fans. And fans want to hear positive things. The time for this critical self-analysis is an introspection is after the season, not in January when you're trying to sell hope for the upcoming season.
Yeah, and quick programming note, why not? David Ross will be on with Lawrence at noon today. But Rossi, I think, is just doing his job because that's what he's got to do, and he's not going to come out. Listen, I think the bigger story would be if he actually said something different, right? I mean, if he actually said, no, you know what? I don't think Bryant's going to be on the team next year. I mean,
right.
He would never come out and say that. And it is. It's right. I mean, it's just such a weird offseason because they've done almost nothing. And David, you mentioned some of the subtractions that have already occurred. And you kind of knew this was going to occur. Theo mentioned it in his end-of-season press conference that there were going to be changes this offseason. The problem is, and I'm sure Cubs brass will hear about it this weekend from fans, is that there's been a lot of minuses but no pluses coming in. And I know the Bryant hearing about the service time is what's holding things up, but that still does not probably make Cubs fans very happy. And as to the is Ross the Ryan Pace of baseball, Ryan Pace has much better hair, but I think they're equally fired up together.
Yeah, I would say David Ross and Matt Nagy's a better comp. They've got the same haircut. They're both trying to tell people to be them. You know, they want to bring out the personalities and everything there. I don't really agree with David Ross that the Cubs are good enough to win the World Series. I think that's it's ridiculous, but what is he supposed to say? He's not going to show up at the Cubs convention in his first, one of his first public outings as the manager of the Cubs. Be like, oh man, we lost a couple guys in the bullpen. We lost Hamels. We lost Castellanos. We're going to trade somebody. He's not going to come in and you know, bring all that negative energy and say, I don't know how the hell we're going to keep our heads above water in the NL Central because it's a tough division. He's trying to be positive and maybe, you know, David, you bring up the point of Joe said all this stuff last year, be like, oh, it's just Joe being Joe. So it's kind of along the same lines. He wants to be looking at the sunny side and is inconceivable as it may be that this team is good enough to win the World Series. I think that's preposterous, of course. But that's what he's expected to say. That's the only thing he can say.
You expect him to be as positive on this day as much as we expected you to wear a White Sox hoodie on the first day of the Cubs convention.
Espo pointed that out to me earlier, and I hadn't even realized. I didn't put the dots together.
Okay. Subliminal messages. He's not that clever.
Yeah, I'm not certainly not that clever. It had to have been a subconscious thing because I can't put those two things next to each other. Is Ross the Ryan Pace of baseball? No. David Ross has actually won things before.
I'm not sure what the last part of the question means. I mean, he's already talked more yesterday than we hear from Ryan Pace basically all year, so I don't know what that means. What did you want Ross to say? We stink? We stinks. We awfuls. Of course he's going to be positive. It's Cubs convention. It's Cubs caravan. He's at an engagement to raise awareness on things. Of course that's what he's going to say. Is he right? No, he's not right. We all know he's not right. They're not good enough. But if anybody's going to get the best out of these players, it's going to be David Ross. I've said it before. I'll say it again until I'm proven wrong. That what the difference was on this team not winning in the postseason was not having a David Ross type around. And that's why Anthony Rizzo doesn't deserve this Lifetime Achievement Award from the Chicago Cubs. Because he needed to be that guy. He needed to be the put foot in backside guy, and he was unwilling or unable to do that. And I think David Ross can do it, and we're going to see if that works with this group.
Wow, going after Riz, huh?
Determined. Well, no, on a different front.
It's Captain Tony. You're going after him,
Captain
right here.
Tony. This is sort of a trick question.
What was the bigger story out of the MLB cheating scandal yesterday? Carlos Beltran stepping down as Mets manager without managing a single game, or Beltran's niece, or someone claiming to be his niece, tweeting out that Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman wore devices that buzzed under their uniforms, along with videos to prove the point.
Well, I think the Beltran news was expected. There was just no way that the Mets could go forward in this climate, in that New York media culture, and expect that Carlos Beltran was going to do his job without distraction. And if you're going to invite those kind of distractions, then he wasn't going to be able to do his job effectively. So that, to me, was not a huge surprise. It was just a matter of when, not if. The other stuff coming out, I think, was a bigger, maybe, a reality check, because it did underscore, number one, there's more there. And there's probably, no matter what, as we pointed out earlier, the investigation reveals from Major League Baseball, there's some anecdotal evidence, there's some video evidence, there's some visual proof that is hard to sweep under any rug. And that's going to keep coming out. And you're going to get players who, you know, from Tommy Pham to whoever else wants to go on social media and out these guys. And you're going to hear more stories, I think, as this goes on. I wonder how long it will go on, because the video technology that was at every team's disposal is pretty sophisticated. And I just wonder how many other teams, if there were any other teams besides the Astros, tried to do what they did. So that was a bigger story. I think the part of the story that we haven't discussed yet and probably, you know, may not get to, but Jessica Mendoza being an ESPN employee, wow, an analyst, and a Mets consultant,
yeah,
protecting, you know, trying to say that there's honor among thieves, and how dare Mike Fiers come out, wow, and be the guy who was the whistleblower, instead of in somebody in the media, you know, applauding the fact that somebody had the courage to come forward and to be that guy. I thought that was disappointing. And so that was a story as well. So I think that was probably the secondary story to the technology stuff that came out about Altuve, and then the Beltran stuff, which we expected.
That really annoyed me. That was just, that was awful on her part. Look, I know we were expecting this, but the fact of the matter is, with Beltran gone, you now have three teams without managers a month before the start of the season. And not just any three teams, that are considered to be, if not in contention, wanting to be in contention. So you got three teams that are trying to win that don't have managers, and it's a month before the start of spring training. That, to me, is a really big story. But, I you know, obviously the idea of players wearing these devices is a huge story. And if this ends up being just the tip of the iceberg and now it comes out and all that, but Major League Baseball seems pretty intent on not investigating nor punishing any players. I get it. The union's strong and they can't punish anyone, but I'll go back to it. Just shut down all use of video. Punish everyone, but end it, because this is arguably worse than the steroid era, because that was at least individual. Now, there were a bunch of guys that on teams that kind of grouped together with it, but it wasn't like this, which is an organized team activity. Let's get together and cheat. So Major League Baseball is a major, major problem, and they really ought to shut it down completely or investigate every little bit of it and find out who was doing what and start stripping some titles.
I agree with that, Molly. And the funny thing is, too, is that, you know, the ability of every team, I mean, everyone can do this in some fashion. It just depends on how far you're going to go. And, you know, I'll read the news because that's what I do during the updates. I report what's been issued by MLB officially. And, you know, Jose Altuve has denied this. But there is just in, 12 hours, a ton of circumstantial stuff that's come out. You're not saying that it's accurate, but you're just saying, huh. I mean, you already know a lot of what happened based on the firings and suspensions and whatever else of A.J. Hinch and of Jeff Luhnow. But holy cow, I guarantee you, every TV camera that was in that clubhouse for that World Series celebration, they're looking over that video. We've already seen still pictures come out. You mentioned, David, the Tommy Pham thing that he tweeted out of the picture of Altuve. The whole holding of the shirt thing as he was coming around the base. There's a ton of circumstantial stuff there. To me, that is the far larger story, even though it came from, you know, some random person on Twitter who's not apparently Carlos Beltran's niece. But the Beltran stuff is a big deal, too. I mean, he was supposed to be the Mets manager. They just hired him. That would be as if the Cubs had gotten rid of David Ross before he even managed a game. They need a manager. The Astros need a manager. The Red Sox need a manager. These are two of your past three World Series winners, too. And these are big market, big spending, high expectation teams. So a crazy, crazy week here for MLB.
Well, David, since you brought it up, the Jessica Mendoza thing yesterday, I mean, this is just one of the million problems that network has. Why are you putting somebody on the air to voice an opinion on something when she literally works for the New York Mets? I mean, talk about a conflict of interest.
Didn't Rossi work for ESPN and the Cubs?
It was equally as stupid.
They've done that, I mean, now consistently, though, Kevin. Well, this isn't a new thing.
It's not a new thing, right. But it was stupid before, and it's stupid now. And yesterday, that case in point of how dumb it is to have somebody that works for an organization offering up, you know, what is supposed to be an unbiased opinion. So she was idiotic yesterday, and at this point, maybe a lot of people will get their wish and they'll have an excuse to fire her. I'm sure Dustin wouldn't be too upset about that. But as far as the bigger story yesterday, I think it is probably Beltran stepping down as Mets manager. I was thinking that he, you know, was obviously under a lot of heat for this. And despite the fact that he is in New York and the media there is infamous for being a little overbearing at times, I thought that maybe it would blow over a little bit because it's the Mets, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. And maybe, you know, we just sweep it under the rug and then he kind of goes about his business. But they parted ways with him. That's the euphemism we've been using all week when these managers get canned, that they're parting ways. So
mutually.
Yes, mutual. I'm sure it was very mutual. I'm sure he didn't want to manage the Mets at all. As far as the claims from this Twitter person, now I think we're getting a little bit too deep into the rabbit hole. I mean, this is some anonymous person on Twitter throwing out random stuff. And Espo, like you said, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, a lot of dots that you might want to connect because we're already in that kind of conspiracy theory mind frame. So we want to say, oh, well, he said this at this point, and we watched the video, and then Aroldis Chapman had this reaction after the home run, and Altuve didn't want his jersey up. I think we're getting a little bit too deep into the conspiracies there. If there was any concrete proof regarding devices or buzzers or anything like that, I would buy into it a little bit more. But at this time, I'm not going to go down that, you know, JFK Zapruder film rabbit hole right now.
Well, is there a Zapruder film? Go down that rabbit hole. I love all this kind of thing. Let me get to Mendoza first, though. I didn't realize that softball had such a higher standard of ethics and they don't rat on each other and all that kind of thing. So I guess good for sight.
Is that a higher standard of ethics or just a more of an allegiance to protecting people?
Well, they're different kinds of ethics, and that, you know,
yeah.
I guess softball players don't get stitches. As far as this, if you Major League Baseball investigated and found out that there were no devices underneath jerseys, shouldn't you have put that out there? And also, to the claim, I'm being Major League Baseball, and also
I think they tweeted something that they didn't find any evidence.
After the fact. I'm saying get ahead of the story and say, before we hear anything, I want to let you know that this is it. These are the punishments, and any other things that come out are unfounded. We have left no stone unturned. I said this to Molly this morning. Major League Baseball couldn't. This is bad enough. If this is actually true, this is like nuclear for them. Okay, they can't have this. They can't have any more shame thrown upon them. I mean, why else would Altuve not want his shirt ripped open?
He's shy.
Modest.
I mean, he doesn't want to see the Fox microphone that he's wearing a wire. I mean, he was wearing a wire for Fox, right? But he was also wearing a buzzer for the Astros. It's dicey. It's very, very dicey. And I don't think Major League Baseball can handle another black eye.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Tony and I can't answer that.
If you were forced to pick one upset in the NFL championship games, which team would you pick and why? Who are you taking in the games and by what scores?
Okay, if I had to pick an upset, and I don't believe there will be one, but if I had to, I would take the Titans. And the reason I would take the Titans is that Andy Reid is 1-6 in championship games. So it's as simple as that. He can't win championship games. You can argue all you want about other elements of it, but that really sticks out like a sore thumb, and Andy Reid needs to get it done, and I think he will. I think that the big statistic to me are the Titans are 24th in pass defense, And even if they're running the ball and even if they're doing the good things that they've done, and I know they've won early. The last game that the Chiefs lost was to the Titans, and that was 35-32. And they rallied in that game. I think that Mahomes against the 24th rated pass defense, I'll take it 34-27.
Yeah, I like the idea. You know, I love the Titans. You know, I love everything about Tannehill and Derrick Henry and that whole story.
But oh, the other game, I'm sorry, just to finish off, 34-23, I'll take the Niners.
Yeah, so I don't know that the Titans, though, have the can do what they did to the Ravens, to the Chiefs, because even if they do take a lead, even if they do keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines for a long time, this is a Chiefs offense that can score 3 touchdowns in 3 minutes. They scored on 7 straight possessions. So the fact that they will be maybe idle as Derrick Henry piles up over 150 rushing yards, which I expect him to do against that Chiefs defense, I just think they're too explosive. So they're going to get the ball more infrequently, but they're still going to get in the end zone. So I think the Titans have a pretty tall order there, and the Chiefs will prevail at home 31-21. So I think it's going to be more plausible to believe that that Aaron Rodgers can go into Northern California and can beat the San Francisco 49ers if they find a way to neutralize that pass rush, get rid of the football quickly, and to capitalize on third down. That's all believable. I don't know that that's expected, because but the question is, if you had to pick one upset, it would be to pick the team to lose that has the least proven quarterback. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I wonder more about, because they rely upon him more than the Titans rely on Tannehill. What is he going to be on this stage? I could see the Packers upsetting the Niners more than I could see the Titans upsetting the Chiefs, but I do think the Niners prevail 27-21.
Yeah, guys, and David, I went right to the quarterback when I thought about this question. I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers would be the upset I would pick if I had to pick one, simply because Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, you just mentioned about Garoppolo, not that he's bad, not that I don't like Garoppolo. You just don't know necessarily what you're going to get with Garoppolo. You absolutely know what you're going to get with Aaron Rodgers.
We also know what we're going to get from Dustin on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's true. So if I had to pick, I would take the Pack. That having been said, I am picking the Niners because I think that defense is ridiculous. I think it'll be a tight game, but I do think San Francisco wins that game. On the AFC side, and I love what Tennessee has done. I was actually texting with David last week, calling him a chicken, basically, for not picking the Titans, even though he wanted to.
You did, and
Titans.
That hurt. Those words mean well, they cut deep, Espo.
The wife and I were out on a rare date night, and we get there. We're watching the football game, and I'm like, holy cow. You know, the first reaction is surprise, and then it's like, David totally had this game picked, and then he didn't pick it. But well, no, the in the AFC side, I agree with what you guys. I mean, after watching the Chiefs come back in that Texans game with what, how many points and how many minutes, I don't see how you pick against them in this game, regardless of what Tennessee does. I like the Chiefs to win big. Let's call it 38-21.
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL right now. The way that they were able to hold their nerve last week when everything was going wrong and just completely come back and flip that game on its head versus the Texans. I think that showed a lot of mettle, and maybe that goes some way in sort of getting that Andy Reid failure gene out of their system, and maybe it kind of exercises some of those demons. So I think Kansas City wins. They're not going to put up as many points as they did last week. I think they score 3 touchdowns, so I think they win 24-13. Over the Titans. I think it's going to be difficult for the Titans to move the ball unless Derrick Henry continues to be inhuman, but I figure that rope's got to end at some point. In the NFC, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think that San Francisco's defense is spectacular, but until I see something, it's hard for me to believe that it's going to happen. I just cannot picture this 49ers team, for whatever reason, as good as they've been all year long, especially defensively, I just can't picture them beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in this game. I think Green Bay is going to upset the Niners 17-10.
17-10 is a good score. I think that is a low-scoring game. The Chiefs are going to win like 30-10. This has got to end. It's got to end for the good of the NFL, for the good of humanity. Okay, it's going to be better football for everyone to watch if Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the Chiefs offense and good old Andy Reid are in Miami representing the AFC. I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't like the Packers. I said earlier this week what my dream scenario is that the Chiefs win and play in Miami, the Packers win and play in Miami, and then the Chiefs absolutely go out there and just embarrass them. And they have the Packers then in the 2020-2021 NFL season have that Super Bowl hangover season. The loser of the Super Bowl usually doesn't have the best season. So that's my hope. I don't see how either team is really going to score in this game. This game is going to be, best case scenario, like 20-17. I have to go with the 49ers just because that defense is so good. That front four, and it's really like the front seven because of the guys they rotate in and out, not including the linebackers. They're just going to be able to get after Rodgers, assuming that he has to throw the ball. Now, you know, maybe they'll be able to ground and pound. Maybe the Packers will be able to ground and pound. I'd love it to be Packers, but I think it's going to be Chiefs 49ers.
Well, I think that's a great question, and for us, it's pretty easy.
What is the preferred outcome for the Kansas City Chiefs from a Bears perspective? Do you want them to win to emphasize Ryan Pace's draft error, or to lose so Matt Nagy doesn't take victory as permission to never run the ball?
If you're a Bears fan, you want progress from your team. And if you want progress, you want the Chiefs to get embarrassed by trying to throw the ball 50 times and ignoring the run. And you want the running game to be rewarded with the Tennessee Titans. And you want a Tennessee Titans San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl because you want to be reinforced. You want to reinforce the idea that running the ball matters because your offensive coordinator slash head coach just hired a quarterback's coach who was fired in Minnesota for not running the ball enough and hired an offensive coordinator who presided over a game plan with the Miami Dolphins that set a record for fewest rushing attempts in a game. So you have not learned your lesson if you are Matt Nagy because you have done nothing in terms of your moves to say that you value the running game more than you did last year. So if you're a Bears fan, you hope to get that point hammered home. You want the Chiefs to lose. You want to see the Titans and the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the right answer. I think that Matt Nagy needs to be taught a lesson here, and the lesson isn't keep doing what you're doing. You know, if it works, then what he's got to realize is that he does not have Kelce. He does not have Mahomes. My God, he doesn't have the same kind of speed. So it's not going to just work because you want it to. So run the damn ball.
Agreed. And I just know that if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, that's just another 2 weeks plus Lord knows how much time on Super Bowl Sunday hearing about Mahomes and how he slipped to 10th in that draft. And you know there'll be a ton of background stories. Trubisky was taken ahead of him. Kansas City traded up, blah, blah, blah. All the draft stories. You'll hear them all again. For Bears fans, I mean, the drinking will start early on Super Bowl Sunday if that's the case because it'll be more reminders of the fact that Patrick Mahomes is on the Chiefs and not the Bears.
Well, I just want the Chiefs to win because I want to see Patrick Mahomes play football, particularly on the biggest stage in the Super Bowl. He's the best player in the league. That's where he belongs in the Super Bowl. And I think Matt Nagy is kind of a, I don't want to say arrogant, but he's a stubborn guy. I think that's probably fair to say. But I think even in his stubbornness, if he sees the Chiefs go on and win the Super Bowl, he knows that Mitch Trubisky can't even begin to lace Patrick Mahomes' Adidas cleats. So I don't think that it will add to his stubbornness or say that, oh, it's because the Chiefs did this, I don't have to run the ball. I don't even think he's that delusional.
If I have to pick who I'm more disappointed in as far as Bears top of the food chain, it's definitely the general manager. It's definitely Ryan Pace. So, yes, I would like to see him being more exposed than normal. And I want the Chiefs to win. It's just more entertaining football for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question we're going to ask management here today.
If the final spot on the Eastern Conference All-Star team comes down to Zach LaVine or Derrick Rose, which player would Chicago prefer and which would be a better choice?
I don't know what Chicago prefers, but it should be Zach LaVine. They should prefer Zach LaVine. And the better choice is Zach LaVine because he's the bull.
Yeah, I think that you definitely would like to see Zach LaVine make the All-Star team because of he's finishing strong before the break and he's got the last five games averaging 32 points per game. But Derrick Rose is also having a great year in Detroit, sort of a resurgent season, and there's a lot of love for Derrick Rose around the league. The thing is that if you have to pick one or the other, I think Zach LaVine is more deserving. But I wonder if Derrick Rose has got a little bit of an edge just because of his reputation around the league. And also, if he comes to Chicago, and I know he's probably going to be here for the skills contest, and then if he ends up playing in the game, he's going to own the weekend because people will be thrilled. And you see it when he comes here with the Pistons as an opponent. MVP chance ring out at the United Center. So I hope that Zach LaVine makes it just because, so it will balance the Derrick Rose love if they both make it. If it's either or, I fear it'll be Rose, but I hope it'll be LaVine.
Yeah, I think Zach is the more deserving. He is definitely the better choice. But as to who is Chicago's choice, I don't even think this is close. And this is not to disparage Zach LaVine, but Derrick Rose is beloved by a lot of people in this city. I think he would be the people's choice, if you want to call it that. I think Zach is more deserving, and we'll see what happens. They're both right there on that bubble.
Zach's having a better year, if we're just comparing them to each other head-to-head. Statistically, LaVine deserves to be there over Derrick Rose, but who I would prefer to see, who Chicago would prefer to see, who the people would want to see, and I'm a man of the people, as you guys know.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'd all rather see Derrick Rose out there. You know, the man is a legend in this city. And before injuries, he was one of the most dynamic, special, talented, unique basketball players that, you know, in years and decades. So he's still, you know, Mr. Chicago. Every time he comes back here, David, you said it, you know, MVP chance. The place goes nuts more for Derrick Rose than they do anybody else on the Bulls roster, that's for sure. So if we're going statistically, it should be Zach, but by any other measure, it should be D. Rose, and I hope that it's Derrick Rose.
So they're both going to be there no matter what, okay? Derrick Rose,
you sure about that?
Yeah,
well, skills competition.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're both going to be, you know, they're both going to be in Chicago and part of All-Star weekend. Either way, I mean, it's not even. Zach is the better player, absolutely. Unfortunately, the All-Star game, as far as attending the All-Star game, very, very, very tough for even Bulls fans, even Bulls season ticket holders, to get into this event. This is massively controlled by the league for the sponsors. So for the people that really, you know, people that like Zach LaVine and people that like Derrick Rose, they're not going to be at the game. And it's an exhibition anyway. So I personally, I want to see both guys participating on All-Star Saturday night. That's what I want. I think that's better for the, if we're talking about what's better for the fans, that's what's better for the fans. All-Star Saturday night. Both of these guys participate. You know what would be great? Both these two guys in the skills competition. That would be fun. Like, that would be something that I think all of Chicago would tune in for. How great would it be if those two guys were in the final head-to-head in the skills competition? That would be great. That would be good drama. That would be good television. That would be good for the NBA. So guess what? It won't happen.
I just want to see Zach LaVine dunk, you know, if he's there Saturday night.
I mean, I don't know if Zach in the skills competition would work. There's a part where you have to pass the ball through an open hole. And I don't think that's what he does.
But there's no defense involved.
That's true. It's a good point.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.